it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Okay, so I want to get to the Romo Dunze stuff. Generally, Matt, what's really funny is that generally when we start talking about wide receivers, a theme that we normally talk about is, man, wouldn't it be great if we got this guy more slot reps? You know, like, that'd be great, you know? And like, that's generally, I don't know, how we talk about wide receivers, which is so funny. And like, I don't know. Anyways, it's such alignment bro BS. But I thought for Romo Dunze, I was actually encouraged by the fact that he actually played more outside here in week number one than he did last year. Again, according to Next Gen Stats in 2024, lined up outside on just 65% of his routes. And this year that has moved up to 70%, right? So, it's 60% now and 65% back in 2024. But the way that he was utilized, I thought, in this week one, you know, matchup against Detroit, I was very, very encouraged by, you know, again, his target share and how he was getting open all over the football field.
Yeah, so I think the thing with this alignment stuff that's important is the snaps on the line of scrimmage versus off the line of scrimmage. He's actually taking more snaps off the line, even if his outside snap rate, for me at least, in reception perception charting, yeah, he went from like a 34.2% slot player last year, 4.5% in the backfield, to 70.6% outside. I think I really actually am curious as to like how, with all this like pre-snap motion stuff that's going on and motion at the snap, I'm wondering how other sources are like accounting for that. And I think that's interesting because sometimes like when I'm watching a play, I'm like, I just think a lot of these offenses are blurring the line between like what is and isn't a slot receiver, you know, and like what is and isn't an outside receiver. So I just think that does make some of the charting, like the alignment stuff, a little wonky in like the small sample sizes. But anyways, directionally, I think that he is playing more outside and more like purposefully outside stuff. So he definitely is playing a lot more X receiver, which is good because he is like, Ben Johnson himself even said it in his reception perception charting prospect profile was like, yeah, this guy's a true X receiver in his rookie year profile, true X receiver. But say this all the time, nobody just lines their top dog up as an X only player anymore. At least like no good coaching staff does. And I think that's what you're seeing with Detroit. Obviously where Ben Johnson comes from, they move Amon-Ra St. Brown all over the field, but he's not even just like a slot only guy anymore. And nobody in this Bears offense, like this was what was so, I just think like people looking for the Amon-Ra St. Brown of this offense was just missing the mark here, because it's just clear to me like everybody deserves slot reps from this offense. And that's exactly what we got. You know, everybody, I mean, DJ Moore took some stuff from the slot. Olamide Zaccheaus took some stuff from the slot. And so did Romo Dunze, which I think is great because they're moving these guys around so much pre-snap and at the snap that it does blur the lines between traditional wide receiver roles and everything. For Romo Dunze, I thought he was kind of as usual, fantastic against man coverage, 81.8% success rate. He won all three of his press reps, but he definitely faced a lot more zone coverage than man coverage, which is to be expected. This is the Vikings defense we're talking about. They're a very zone heavy unit. You know, Romo Dunze himself told me in the offseason, like, this is one of the hardest defenses I faced in as a rookie because of how much their zone coverage is tight and they communicate well and they close those windows quickly. So that's one thing. And like the whole, man, I definitely kicked the hornet's nest of like tweeting about quarterbacks, you know, Tuesday morning after watching the film back on this and talking a little bit about Caleb Williams online. Never do that. Never tweet about quarterbacks is like a lesson I learned probably once per season, 'cause it just gets so toxic so fast. That is one thing that I'm thinking about coming out of this Bears game. It's like, hey, you know, I know that Caleb Williams left a lot of plays on the field. I talked about that in particular, like Romo Dunze, ran a ton of dig and post routes, 36.4% of his routes, average success rate of 81.8% on those two patterns. Like that, again, if you're looking at who's the lead dog in a Ben Johnson offense, like that's the main route diet of that player. I think the offense is setting up for Rome Odunze to be that lead dog wide receiver, in addition to the fact that he led the team in snaps and targets and routes and all those things. But Caleb Williams wasn't taking a lot of those throws. It just, like, you could feel it watching the game live, right? That there wasn't much deep and over the middle, intermediate and deep over the middle of the field. You go back and look at the passing chart, and he completed and attempted just one pass over the middle of the field, 10 plus yards. That was it. That was it.
Can't have it.
Can't have it. That's not good enough.
Can't have it.
So I realized that Caleb Williams is that that's like a poor mark in his performance from this. He got to, but at the same time, he did get to check downs quickly. You can tell Ben Johnson wants him to get to those completions quickly because you can tell it because he says it all the time. Ben Johnson's a pretty honest, like, coach. Honestly, he's shooting people straight from like a player evaluation standpoint. Totally. He says all the time, like, I just want him to get to completions. He did a good job getting to completions. You can tell that is what is being driven in his head. And again, let's not forget, this is one of the best defenses against zone, like the playing zone coverage in the entire NFL. Like it was always going to be a tough debut to see that defense in week one in your first start in a new offense. So that is the one thing I think that these two guys still have to get better together at, is working over the middle of the.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The field deep and intermediate.
He's just got to let it rip. I mean, I can't tell you how many dang times that you're just like, throw the ball. I mean, throw the ball. I get it. I think that, and what I tweeted out, by the way, man, like talking about quarterbacks is so funny, man. Like I tweeted out that, and this is early in the game, like it's still, I think it was still in the first quarter, that I was noticing that he was just not letting it rip. Off his first read or second read or whatever. He's just holding the ball too long, but he was making awesome reactionary throws, right? Like,
yeah.
And so he was putting those plays together, and he was running the ball, scrambling pretty well, you know, but I had tweeted out that, it looks like Caleb is still has some, you know, some of the trauma, some of the PTSD from last season.
Sure.
And bringing that with him this season, like he still has that hesitancy. And when I tweeted that out, people were like, are you watching the game? You know, and it's like, bro, oh my gosh, like it's unbelievable. Like, yeah, he's doing great out of structure. Dude, you can't win this way.
Yeah.
You cannot win. You cannot win in the NFL just playing simply out of structure. It's just impossible. So you've got to let it rip on some of these designed in breaking routes. Like this is what Ben Johnson wants. You got to let it rip sometimes, man. Like put the ball in harm's way. That's okay. Let some of these receivers go out there and they're highly paid too. Let them go out there and make some plays, man. Like I just watching Caleb Williams, he just had so much hesitation and I'm like, man. And when he got outside the pocket, outside of structure and couldn't think, Matt, and he just is playing. That's when he was his best. That's when he was his best. If he could combine some of that with just, man, just see it and rip it, man. I really do think that Caleb Williams can unlock something in this offense. I mean, shoot, the broadcast team was talking about it at length. That it's like, okay, well, he sees it, but he didn't throw it. Yeah. I mean, they talked about it at length, you know? So I don't know. He's got to let that go. He's got to let that football go. And hopefully he's not scared to let it go in the coming weeks as well.
I think it's going to take time. People think that Ben Johnson's going to get there and he's going to sprinkle, you know, magic pixie dust and fix Caleb. Like, that's not what this is. Like, this, and I still think there is like a fundamental misunderstanding of what Ben Johnson's offense is and should be. Like, we know about the trick plays and some of the this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But it's, it's an offense that's really based in like fundamentals and everybody being in the right place at the right time and everybody executing at a high level.
Right.
And when, I mean, I listened to Amon Ross St. Brown talk about it, about how, like, you know, talking actually with Rome Odunze about it. I saw an interview that those guys did together because St. Brown's got his own podcast with his brother.
Yep.
And he was talking about, hey, you know, I know that he's hard and I know he's demanding, which is so funny, by the way. Like, these guys are division rivals and they're all like talking about this the coach that they share. It's interesting.
No, it is. Yeah, 100%.
And so he's talking to Rome Odunze, be like, I know he's hard. I know this stuff's tough. And Rome's like, yeah, for sure. He's like, but man, like, that shit works. When you do it right and you do what he says and like you follow it to the, it, like that, he's like, he just kept saying, he's like, literally that shit works. Like, and it's just, that's what the offense is. It's going to take time for everybody to do that. Like, these guys need to play in it. They need to get live reps together, all those sort of things. So I'm definitely going to be patient with everything here. I will say, to some of your points about him not playing in structure, there were times Monday night where I'm like, am I watching Kyler Murray? You know, and that's the thing where, and I wrote in the notebook.
Such a great comp, dude. That is such a great comp. My God.
I was texting with my producer at Yahoo about it. Like, during the show, I was like, I mean, during the game, I was like, man, it's very Kyler coded, the whole thing here. And like, the thing is that eventually you have to grow out of that, because we're in year what of Kyler Murray? Year six.
Yeah.
Right. And we're still talking about the same things.
Oh, like, yeah. He's not going to rip a dig.
No, never. Never. No. Marvin Harrison, by the way, would have had like 150 yards and a touchdown if he could put a ball accurately over the on a post route, by the way, right, in that week one game. So,
yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm still thinking about that, obviously. But man, it just, that's the thing. Like, 6 years into Kyler Murray's career, he's not changed. He is who he is. And people like slam on Drew Petzing's offense because of Kyler Murray. It's like, bro, he needs to take the throws that are there because they're designed and they're open. And we've talked about that with Marvin Harrison Jr. With this Caleb Williams situation, we're in year two, game one, and first game in a new offense. If we're still having this conversation, all these things, you know, at the end of the season and into year three, then it's like, okay, maybe he can't change his stripes. But honestly, at some point, that's what has to happen here for him to really get the full expression of this offense.
Which is, by the way, which is really funny, because when he was at USC, he was just letting everything rip. Like, he had no conscience whatsoever. Like, he just was let's just let this thing fly. And then I think they just hammered it into him in year number one. Like, don't turn the ball over. Don't be a cowboy. Because I thought he looked like a completely different player his rookie season versus what we saw at USC in terms of hesitation and all that kind of stuff.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.